The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
How do you wrap your head around that, you know, that level of money, I guess, and, you know, any, like, what do you plan on doing with it,
I guess? I mean, I have a financial advisor for a reason. I don't know, I may go get a new lawnmower, kind of, something I've been looking into.
Maybe you can hide money.
The all new lawnmower.
Yeah. $87 million contract, maximum value, $50 million guaranteed. I think I need a new lawnmower. I think I'll get a lawn boy, push around the backyard. Yeah, you've got enough money to hire somebody to cut your lawn and every lawn in greater Philadelphia and beyond for the rest of your life and beyond with that. So, but hey, that's the smart way to do it. Don't spend all your money. Save your money. Don't burn it away.
Hey,
Rodney Harrison has talked about that in the past.
Right.
You've got to buy a Ferrari or a Lamborghini right out of the gates with that money.
Yeah.
And that's a horrible investment. And, you know, you got to save it for the future because, as we say all the time, when we say get what you can while you can, there's only so many years that you can get it. This is the one time Landon Dickerson's ship's going to come in. He may get a second contract down the road. It's not going to be like this one. This is the one moment. So bank it. Do what Gronk did. If you can, never spend your football money and live off of all the other stuff that you make from playing football, although, again, not many guys get the benefit of that. But secretly a genius is Rob Gronkowski for putting those checks in the bank and leaving them there.
No, I hear you there, right? I mean, Landon Dickerson's awesome football player. We talked about him a little yesterday. Best guard in football, or certainly in that combo there, right? And, I mean, that type of money, I mean, again, I'm usually for what you're saying. Save your money, be smart and all that. But, I mean, $50 million guaranteed, $87 million max part of the contract there. Buy yourself a lawnmower and a Ferrari. It's okay. This one time you can do it. It's okay. You'll be okay. Then just go back to your normal guidelines from there. But, they, you know, that's the best part about offensive linemen. They're very frugal. They're very thoughtful about how they spend their money, no matter how much they have, for the most part. And I think this goes, you know, throughout. That's my experience with them. They question everything, and they're usually, I would say, the best on the football team, right, at saving their money and doing the right things with their money. You know, I don't think anybody would disagree with that, that's been in an NFL locker room.
And here's the other reality as well. Uncle Sam is going to take his cut. The ghost of William Penn is going to take his cut via Pennsylvania state taxes. That's just the way it goes. And when you get to the age where you fully appreciate the impact of income taxes on your earning potential, you stop thinking about how much something costs. You start thinking about how much money you have to make to afford it after taxes.
Yeah, yeah.
So that Ferrari, whatever it may cost you, double it, Landon Dickerson, if you're thinking about a Ferrari or a lawnmower or anything. Whatever you buy is basically, when you get up to that tax bracket, not quite 50-50, but dangerously close to it, and it is 50-50. It's more than 50-50 if you live in California. You got to double what the price is to earn that money.
Is that how you
buy
think?
That thing?
You think that way?
Is
that,
yes.
Yeah, you're that way?
Yes.
I had a period in my life where
I was... I don't have a Ferrari.
Well, yeah, you got some other cars in there if you want to let us all know about them. They're pretty good. You got a pretty good repertoire there. But either way,
that'd
like,
be fine.
I found myself being like that for a little bit, right? Like maybe 3-4 years ago, where I started to worry about, you know, money and the big picture and all that. And I just said, the hell with it. I don't worry myself with it. I don't buy myself anything, really. I don't really do that. You know, that's my wife's department. She's good at buying stuff for herself and lavish things that way. I keep it simple. You know, I'm just like, you know what I like, a little drinky, a little smoky, give me some cool sneakers every now and then. I got some button-ups that go to the top here. Other than that, life's pretty simple for Chris Sims.
Well, I'm the same way. I'm the same way.
I know.
Other than my pinball machines, of which I have two, technically three. One's a baseball machine. And some video games down in the barn. Like, there's nothing left for me to buy other than the Ferrari. Which, and I'm getting toward, and I'm not quite where you are, but I feel like I'm getting there. Because you start doing the math. All right, here's what's in the bank. Here's how old I am. How many good years do I have left?
Right.
My niece has sent me a video of some old dude who bought a Ferrari when he retired, and he's like crawling in and crawling out. He can't get in it because he can't move. Like, you probably should make that purchase while you can still get in and out of the car. That's a good rule of thumb. But, yeah, I'm very simple in my own tastes as well, and I don't spend a lot of money. That's the reality. You know, our one big thing every year is we rent a beach house somewhere on the Eastern Seaboard where we can find a place big enough the right week for 20 people, and that's it. That's our and that's not an insignificant expense, but that's our one big thing every year.
Yeah, so, I get you there.
Anyway,
yeah, you spend it on the family.
Save your money, kids.
Yep.
Save your money, kids, and then you get to a point where you realize, you know what, you really can't take it with you. And Uncle Sam's going to take another cut of whatever you have left if you have enough that it gets Uncle Sam's attention.
Yeah,
which I still
that's messed
don't
up.
Buy.
That's messed up. I'm with you there.
As somebody who is spending his life busting his ass to earn it and paying Uncle Sam every step of the way, my response to the interest of Uncle Sam and coming to take more of it after I'm dead is get the out of my life.
I hear
all right?
you there.
I gave it to you all along. Right. You ain't getting no more now that I'm dead. Of course, as I say all the time.
Well, technically they won't be in your life because you're dead, but I got your point. You
exactly.
Got it, right.
I will have far bigger problems at that point. And
speaking of problems.
My wife from time to time. Yes.
Well, speaking of problems.
Yes. What problem? What?
How you doing? How you doing today? How's everything going?
Oh, I'm fine.
36 hours later.
It's fine.
You know, the Vikings.
It's fine. This is fine.
You don't have a quarterback. Ditched you.
Sam Darnold.
Right.
No, you love Sam Darnold.
I do.
I'm with you.
Hey.
Sam Darnold has untapped potential that 6 years in the NFL is yet to fully reveal.
Well, I mean, this will be hopefully the first time he can be a starter and have the right support system around him, right? But like, the Kirk Cousins Minnesota Vikings thing, man, I'm not like, it's one of those where, hey, it was shocking when it happened. I know we talked about it yesterday, but there was a part of me that was like, man, at like 4:30, 5 o'clock yesterday, I was like, I wish I could talk about the Kirk Cousins thing more with the Vikings and talk about it with Mike one more time, right? Because I feel like the more time that's gone by, the more I'm like, what in the hell were the Vikings doing? How the hell did they let Kirk Cousins out the door? That's what I'm really, as the more it goes, I go, wait, you let one of the top quarterbacks in football, top 10-ish, top 12-ish. We went through the exercise during the season. Out the door for what? Like a few extra million dollars? And like we talk about all the time, like, you can't easily replace that. It's like, hey, oh, yeah, we'll get another guy in here that's, you know, what do they say? Elite. Well, I don't know. Who are you going to get that's more elite than Kirk Cousins right now? With a team that has a lot of playoff caliber traits. You got a coach who was brought there to be Johnny offensive coordinator. We're going to have an awesome offense. And you chop a leg away from him and take away the quarterback that he's groomed since he's got there and done awesome things with? I don't know. The more time that goes by, I just go, what the hell was Minnesota thinking not going up and making an offer that was worthy in Kirk Cousins' mind of staying in town and staying with Minnesota? I think the more time that goes by, the more crazier I think Minnesota is for the whole thing. I know I thought Cousins was gutsy, Atlanta's gutsy, Minnesota's crazy to let him out the door. I think that's what I'm coming to the more and more I think about this and let it ruminate in my brain there.
I think there was an institutional arrogance that he wasn't going to find anything better than what they were willing to offer, or they strategically crafted the offer, daring him and or inviting him to go find better elsewhere. And if you do, see you later. This gets back to the point that I made yesterday, and I wrote about it.
What was that?
In the afternoon. Well, and of course, Vikings fans are all pissed at me now. The idea that there may be some dysfunction brewing in Minnesota. You may not have a coach and GM on the same page.
How?
Assuming
of course
Kevin
there
O'Connell
is.
Told us the
of
truth.
Course. That, yeah.
When he told, assuming right. he was telling us the truth, and he doesn't seem to be that kind of guy, which right. makes it harder to be an effective coach in the NFL because you do have to lie from time to time or at least avoid the topic altogether. We believed him when we sat within 5 feet of him and he told us he wants Kirk Cousins. So the head coach wants him. GM Kwesi Adofo-Mensah apparently doesn't, or the organization itself, ownership, doesn't. I mean, if this is a situation where O'Connell and the GM wanted him and ownership didn't, then shame on ownership for not letting their football people do the job. If this is O'Connell wanted him and Adofo-Mensah didn't, then you've got something that you just need to keep an eye on going
no,
forward.
No, no doubt.
How else is this
no
going to manifest itself?
No
O'Connell
doubt.
Wants Justin Jefferson. We're not going to trade him. I don't rule out Kwesi Adofo-Mensah trading Justin Jefferson. Because, Chris, I go back to where I was last year.
Yeah.
My feeling, pasta and meatballs last year was, this is it with Kirk Cousins. They're going to try to get themselves in position to draft a franchise quarterback who'll be there for 10 years or longer. And if they have to trade Justin Jefferson to get into the top of the draft, maybe they will. And I said, before the season started, probably on this show, if they don't extend Jefferson before week one of the 2023 season, a trade is in play. And I still think a trade's in play. I still think it is. Because one thing we learned, whatever Kevin O'Connell tells us is not on behalf of the organization.
No.
It's just on behalf of him.
No. I have a hard time thinking, like, your first option's reality with the owner, right? I haven't heard of the owners up there sticking their nose in things and being that kind of part of the group, right? Yeah, I'm your pasta and meatballs. You know, I think what we heard early on in the Kwesi Adofo-Mensah like era, as far as talking about, you know, we're elite quarterback and all that. Yeah, that to me at the end of the day looks like, you know, the hay was in the barn already, right? There was going to have to be something extravagant done by Kirk Cousins this year to stay or maybe get the offer he wanted. But I agree with you in your thought that GM and Kevin O'Connell watch out for something there. Of course, my history in the NFL, people I know, whatever, right? Knowing Kevin O'Connell a little bit, knowing the coaches he came from, Kirk Cousins is his type of quarterback. That's what he wanted. He can run his offense and do all the things we talked about. He's got to be, Kevin O'Connell has to be sitting there going, I can't believe we didn't offer the extra $4 million or $5 million a year to keep Kirk Cousins. He's got to be going crazy. And this is where, hey, this will be lessons for other great, you know, offensive OC head coaches as they go forward. It's going to be stuff like this that's going to have them raise their hand and go, no, I would like power to make the last decision. I don't want to let the GM who has some agenda and for some reason is, oh, we're going to find an elite quarterback, even though we have a really good one. He might not be elite, but he's really damn good. We're just going to throw that out the door and go, hey, we'll find elite somewhere. It's falling from the sky. That, to me, is where it's crazy. And I'm with you, Mike. I think we should be all over looking at or looking for friction there between those two, because that's the kind of move that we saw 2 days ago that will change the dynamic of any relationship there between a coach and a GM.
And this is where fans struggle, because on one hand, you don't want anyone stirring up trouble for the team. You don't want to hear anything bad about your team. You want to live in a little world of delusion and fantasy that everything is fine. Okay, enjoy that then, if what I'm sensing is accurate. Or what you can do is insist on something changing and shame them into becoming not dysfunctional. Shame them, call them out, shine a light on it, and make it better. That's why anytime a team's dysfunctional, I try to shine the light on it, because fan bases, whichever fan base, doesn't deserve to be beholden to and caught up by this reality where there isn't a damn thing they can do about it other than not go to the games or not watch the games. And it's too late to turn back from your fandom. That doesn't happen. Like, you know, people toy with the idea from time to time, and I've heard from some Vikings fans who are sufficiently distraught about what's gone on to be considering their options. Good luck with that. You can't just turn that off. It's like turning your back on your family. Not easy to do.
Yeah.
Although some have done it. Some in football have done it. But it's not easy to do. What? That's later in the show. It's not easy to do for a fan. So we're here to try to shine that light and disinfect these situations and get people to realize, yeah, you want this guy to coach the team, and this gets back to the old Parcells thing. You want me to cook the meal? You got to let me shop for the groceries. They're not giving Kevin O'Connell the ability to go get the guys he wants. Now, we still don't know, and I've been trying to find out what the Vikings offered. If the Vikings made a great competitive offer, they need to get that out there to make it look like Kirk chose to leave.
I'm getting the feeling.
There's a chance that final offer was calculated. You hear about the offer you can't refuse. Sometimes you get an offer that is designed to not be accepted, that is specifically engineered to look like it's being respectful, but it's just on the right side of respectful. Now, Chris, you know, back to your point from before yesterday, the guy's on one leg. The guy's recovering from an Achilles tendon.
I hear you.
You're taking a leap of faith.
Right.
And I did write a couple things yesterday about what you can and can't find out if you're not the Vikings.
I saw that.
As free agency approaches,
right,
as legal tampering approaches. Folks, the Falcons tampered their ass off with Kirk Cousins. I mean, everybody tampers, so I don't think the NFL is going to do anything. But this is that one new situation where you're giving the guy a massive contract 2 hours into the legal negotiating window, and they weren't allowed to have anything until noon Eastern on Monday. They weren't allowed to talk to the agent about it. They weren't allowed to get any x-rays or MRIs or doctor's reports. The team still can't share information between themselves until after 4 p.m. Eastern today. Clearly, the Falcons tampered. And if there's ever going to be a time that the NFL comes down on somebody, frankly, it's this one, because it is unprecedented to be sharing that medical information, and it would be easy to find if the NFL decided to investigate it. And that's part of the business risk the Falcons are taking here. We want this guy, we're getting this guy, and we'll worry about the consequences later. But clearly, unless they are just foolish and reckless and just said, oh, what the hell, he looks good in that video where he's throwing passes on a tennis court, unless that was good enough for them, they clearly went beyond what we ordinarily see when somebody recruits a guy and talks to a guy and gives numbers to an agent before we get to that legal tampering window.
I would think so. You know, just again, my history, knowledge of everything is there's no way Atlanta gives him that contract and does that without having extra inside info on the whole situation. Like, I have a hard time believing that. I have a hard time believing that they're just going to do that and go, oh, well, hey, we'll just see how we'll see how the physical goes. You know, we got our fan base all excited and everything, but we'll just see how it goes. I mean, we hope it works out. I mean, come on, like, get the hell out of here. Of course they looked at him. Of course they know a lot about the situation that they're probably not supposed to know. There's no doubt about that. And yeah, you're right. I mean, you brought it up. I mean, there's risks there. There's risk there with Minnesota and all that too. You know, I certainly have been one to you know, verbalize that and say those type of things too. But I guess I still go back to the shock factor, letting him out the door. You know, what I said yesterday, here we are, we're getting towards close to 48 hours. I said yesterday, I said, if we don't start to hear contract numbers, that means that they weren't in the ballpark. They were low. It was disrespectful. I'm going to still hold to that. I feel like if we don't hear something by today or tomorrow, the offer is something what you're saying there, Mike, certainly. And then I think the more I think about it, hey, modern medicine, the Achilles injury, right? We're seeing people heal from that. I guess I can't believe they let a franchise big-time quarterback out the door with – you know, not really a hard, big-time contingency plan. Your contingency plan is what you said and alluded to and joked about a little bit before. 6 years in, a guy that we think might be good, but we haven't seen it yet. There is some talent there, but, hey, we got a playoff-caliber team. We're going to ride with that guy. That it just, when I say it out loud, that's what made me do it. I talked out loud yesterday, Mike, a few times, and I was like, wait, this Minnesota thing's crazy. And that's really what, you know, led me to asking you that this morning and wanting to kind of dive back into it one more time.
Yeah, thank you very much for that. Anger, denial, bargaining, depression, and acceptance, and now you tear the Band-Aid off again. But look, if the Vikings did make a competitive offer, this is where the broader PR strategy comes into play.
Definitely.
We need to get that out there. We need to make it look like it was him. We need to make it look like it was close enough that he should have stayed.
Right.
Now, this is where the whole Minnesota nice thing comes into play. And sometimes I say the fan base is too tolerant of the team. And, you know, you got to be a little ruthless at times. There are times like this, special occasions where you got to roll up your sleeves. Unless at the end of the day, this was all about, and again, that may be why the numbers aren't out. This was all about going through the motions and letting Kirk Cousins leave. Yeah, he had some great performances last year. Yeah, that Monday night game against the 49ers was arguably the best of his career. And that's what made people like me change their opinion.
Yeah.
And then 6 days later, there goes the Achilles tendon. You take that away. You know, if they just continue on that path to Strugglesville that they were on early in the season, it becomes a lot easier to get behind the idea that Kirk Cousins is leaving.
Right.
But here's the other reality. The Falcons aren't going to be there. He's not going to have another option. That's the catch-22 in this. If he just has a blah year and nobody says, hey, that guy really still – hey, this guy could be one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL. The Falcons aren't paying him $180 million, whatever. It's not $180 million, but you know what I mean. Whatever they're giving him, they're not giving him that. They're not giving him that deal that has – $100 million guaranteed. They're not doing it.
Right.
Nobody's doing it.
Right.
So the better he played, the more attractive he became, the less likely the Vikings are to keep him. But the Vikings, I don't think, wanted to keep him anyway.
No.
You may have people in the Vikings organization who are happy by this outcome. We finally offloaded this guy. We don't have to do a Band-Aid and keep him around. We're not being pressured by the fan base to keep him around. That may be why they kept so quiet. You know, the Falcons, I think, kept quiet about it because there probably was some blatant tampering going on based upon the application of common sense and our mutual understanding of the way things work.
Right.
I think the Vikings were keeping quiet, too, because other than Kevin O'Connell, they were keeping quiet because I think that there were folks there, whether it's Kwesi Adofo-Mensah or somebody else, that was kind of like, you know, this is our way to finally get off this highway,
right. Yep.
To get off the Kirk Cousins highway and move on to something else because – What do we ultimately have to show for it? And I'm speaking as if I'm a member of the organization. If we're sitting around a room talking about this, what do we ultimately have to show for this? We've got two playoff appearances in 6 years and one playoff win. What are we doing this for? You know, I've criticized them in the past. I've said for the Vikings, just good enough is just good enough.
Yep.
So this is a way, and this is, I guess, where, you know, their willingness to hold firm to their plan comes into play. Even if the head coach isn't on board with that plan because he wants Kirk Cousins to stick around. The plan is we want a guy that's going to, you know, it's going to allow us to say after six NFL seasons, not that we got to the playoffs twice and won one playoff game. We got to the AFC Championship game or the NFC Championship game every damn year.
Yeah, right.
We went to the Super Bowl four times, right? Now, the problem is you can't wave a magic wand and find Patrick Mahomes. But I think the Vikings are at the point where they want to try. They want to try. That I think, is the best way to understand how they got to where they are. But the problem is, and this gets back to the concept of dysfunction, you need to have Kevin O'Connell on board with that when
100%.
He's making the rounds at the scouting combine.
Yes, right.
That's the problem.
Right.
As much as we respect him and admire him and like him as a coach, something went haywire for the Vikings in the run-up to this because you got the head coach sending one message and the front office preparing to do something.
The head coach is doing, I think, what I'm talking about, what we're alluding to. He's going, wait, we're going to let one of the better quarterbacks out the door for nothing? Like, we're just going to let him go? That's it? And we don't really have a plan, and we're kind of in, like, no man's land as far as the quarterback situation. You know, we're in a spot where we might not get, you know, the top three guys at least. You know, that's where I think that's obvious. As the more I think about it, a telltale sign they were not on the same page. Yes, I think that speaks to it. He would have had different language at the combine if he was going along with the rest of the front office. I think what he was saying at the combine was his way of publicly pushing back a little bit and putting a little pressure on it without being a jerk or, you know, making it too obvious. I mean, I think, you know, at the end of the day, and I look back at it all and think about it more and more, I think that's exactly what it was. He's sitting there scratching his head going, I can't believe this. We're going to let this guy go. We've gone up and down the field against everybody in football ever since I got him as a quarterback, and we're just going to throw him away. And I think he was probably shocked by that. Of course he was. How could he not be?
And that's the reality going forward, Vikings fans. I know you might not want to hear this, but something like this leaves a scar. It is the kind of thing that impacts relationships in a negative way. They better have some weekend somewhere where they do team building exercises to get everybody back on the same page. And even that's not going to work. You know what's going to work is winning. That's the only thing that's going to work. Kwesi Adofo-Mensah's plan has to be validated. Of course, for it to be validated, Kevin O'Connell's got to do superhuman feats getting Sam Darnold to play like Kirk Cousins. Or they have to find a Patrick Mahomes in the draft. Whoever they get with pick number 11. You know, I talk all the time about pressure on a quarterback. What if they trade up? What if they dangle Justin Jefferson to trade up to number 3 and get one of the top guys? Lots of hell of a lot of pressure on that guy and on the team to get the most out of him. And the guy that's going to be expected to do it is the guy that just wanted to keep Kirk Cousins in the first place.
Yeah.
I wanted to keep Kirk Cousins. We had put in all the work. The guy's ready to explode. And he's going to explode for someone else. Now I got to start from scratch with this new guy. I hope to hell when it's time to pick a quarterback, they at least listen to Kevin O'Connell. Because that's the only way to make this worse. Is if they draft a guy that they like and he doesn't. If he likes somebody else. So that's one way, as they pick up the pieces on this, O'Connell needs to be a little more ruthless and a little more aggressive, and he needs to leverage this into a position of, all right, fine, you got your way. But whoever you draft, if this is the guy I'm going to be expected to turn into a real quarterback, I need a seat at the table. I need to have a real voice here. I need to have more of a voice than I had with Kirk. I need the guy I want if you expect me to turn this guy into the franchise quarterback the organization hasn't had since Fran Tarkenton.
Yeah, agreed with you there. 100%. They got to let him be involved with that.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
For the world's greatest athletes,
this is the showdown we've been waiting for.
There is nothing like competing on the world's biggest stage.
It's a world record again!
Goal for the United States! Unbelievable!
And when that stage is Paris, anything can happen.
I have never seen anything like this.
How about that?
An Olympics unlike any other.
What a performance!
The Paris Olympics, Friday, July 26th on NBC and Peacock.
All right. I'm sorry I took you down the Minnesota Vikings. All right. Let's get to the stuff that happened like yesterday and get to the news of today.
We'll pivot from a dysfunctional team that wears purple, potentially, to a properly functional team that wears purple in Baltimore, which always has a plan, and everyone's always on the same page, and they've managed to find a way to keep the guy who is the DNA match to Jim Harbaugh under control since 2008, and that's the Baltimore Ravens. They wait, and they wait, and they wait. I'm trying to think of the movie where, you know, all this chaos is going on, and there's somebody who's just like, let's wait. It's almost like in Gladiator, hold.
Yeah.
Hold. Like, you know exactly when to move.
Right.
They know exactly when to move. They knew exactly when to move on Derrick Henry. Not day one. If you move on day one, you're going to pay more than you want to pay. You move on day two. Oh, but what if somebody else gets Derrick Henry? Hold. Hold. But Derrick Henry, it's Derrick Henry. Let's be patient. It'll work. They did the same thing with Lamar Jackson in 2018 in the draft. The owner wanted to take him in the middle of the draft. They took – who's the tight end they took instead? Hunter Henry?
Yeah, no. The kid –
Not
Hayden Hurst. Exactly.
Hayden Hurst.
Right.
Yep. Hunter Henry, Hayden Hurst. Hayden Hurst. I knew it as it was coming out. It was two H's, but the other letters after that were not the right ones. But they did it then. We'll be able to swoop back into the bottom of the round again. Trust me. And it worked. Derrick Henry, they wait a day, and it works. Two-year deal, reportedly worth $16 million, $8 million a year. That $8 million a year number has become kind of the de facto running back market number. And then you dig into the deal details, and okay. But the bottom line is they got the guy who has been the best running back in football in the past several years. And we all knew they were interested in him, and they waited, and they got him a day after the market started. This is just an example of how the Ravens have it figured out. They know how to be patient, to sit and wait, and make their move at the right time. Even though, I mean, they did it last year with OBJ, and they overpaid OBJ. They aren't right all the time. But that's what makes Derrick Henry a no-brainer. Whatever they're giving Derrick Henry, I mean, they're getting him for 2 years for $1 million more base than what they gave OBJ for one. Hell yeah, it's a good deal for them.
Yeah, it's a great deal. I mean, again, we knew there was talk or interest during the trade deadline with Derrick Henry and the Tennessee Titans and the Baltimore Ravens. I think all of us thought maybe that could be a possibility or happen, right? That was definitely going through the rumorville of the NFL. You sit here and you go through the process, and I think you explained it right. Baltimore, you know, come on, they're one of the best one of the most well-run organizations in all of football. They're going to be patient with it. They don't want to overpay. They also know, hey, we got a really good team, right? They probably know a guy like Derrick Henry doesn't want to go to some team that's in a rebuild mode. He wants to go to a team that's like us, right, where he can end it off his career, maybe going to a Super Bowl, playing in some AFC championship games, certainly being on a team that's elite, let alone go out on a team that, hey, wait, I got other people around me, right? This isn't like the last 2 years with the Tennessee Titans where there's nothing else to defend except Derrick Henry running up the middle, and everybody's just like, well, we'll just worry about that because there's nothing else to worry about. Now he's going to be on a football field with Lamar Jackson, one of the best offensive lines in football, one of the best young, talented groups of receivers in football, right? And then we talk about like a guy who, you know, you get him going downhill, and when he gains all his speed, right? When you talk about the defensive coordinators and they go, how do you stop Derrick Henry? It's like, don't let him get going. You need to get around his feet and stop the momentum and stop the train going before it starts chugging down the tracks, right? He's going to have room in Baltimore. So, yes, this is like the most Baltimore move ever, right? It's like, I should have bet money on it. What was I thinking, right? It's the Ravens. They pillage the biggest, baddest dudes on the planet every year. Derrick Henry's towards the top of that list. Here he is. Welcome to Baltimore. I mean, he fits the Ravens, the mantra, everything. It's great to see.
I mean, we saw him run through the Ravens defense in England when they played this year. And
yeah.
Yeah, that's the – yeah, yeah, we want that guy. Why do we want to have to tackle that guy?
Right.
We want that guy to be out there forcing our opponents to try to tackle him. And that's the way he's always been. I remember when he first really landed on the scene – and emerge. It's like, this is a guy who, if he gets those first couple of steps,
yes,
you got a problem.
Yes,
because he's fast and he's big. And I don't remember much about what I learned in physics class in college, but the bigger something is and the faster it's moving, the greater the impact when it hits something. So all the more reason to get out of the way, or you're going to get posterized and thrown to the ground by a stiff arm from Derrick Henry. So he's still got gas in the tank.
Yes, he does.
And I think this is a great move for the Ravens. You take him, and he's led the NFL in rushing since 2018 with 8,268 yards. That was the year Lamar Jackson entered the NFL.
Right.
Jackson has 5,258 rushing yards, leading all quarterbacks. So you've got the NFL rushing leader since 2018 in Henry and the quarterback rushing leader in Lamar Jackson.
And the team that led the NFL in rushing, right? I mean, yeah.
After a loss in the playoffs at home, where what did they fail to do sufficiently?
Yeah,
they
run the ball.
To run it.
Right.
They failed to run it. Now, how can you ever fail to run it when you've got Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson back there? So, you know, remember last year with the Todd Monken offense, it's like, what are they going to do? And it took a while, and it got going, and they diversify it. But I think they understand. At the end of the day, when you get to January, if you want to separate, if you want to keep Patrick Mahomes on the sideline drinking Gatorade, as you like to say, you got to run the ball.
Right.
You got to chew the clock.
That's right.
You got to limit the opportunities for Mahomes to steal your heart out and show it to you. And
yeah.
I think they figured that lesson out the hard way, losing the AFC Championship game at home.
Right. I mean, how many times during the year last year did you hear me say, and we had conversations where I was like, Baltimore, run the damn ball. You know, you're at your best when you do that. I think you're right. They probably they realized that. It was a tough lesson they had to learn. But we're seeing, I mean, again, a lot of the good teams in football, you look at the two teams in the NFC Championship, what do the 49ers and Lions do really well? They run the ball, right? There's a lot of benefits to that. Not only controlling the clock, resting your defense, running the ball, you know, is the best way to create explosive plays also in the passing game with the play action. That was chopped away from them in the AFC Championship game the championship game because they never really got a run game going, right? I mean, this is just allows them to, you know, impose their physicality, and hopefully they play a little bit more of a balanced way last year. I do think, and I think we had these conversations a lot during the year, they got a little too obsessed with, hey, it's Todd Monken, and we got the receivers, and we paid Lamar all this money, and we're going to throw the ball more than we're going to run the ball. And I'm okay with that, but I think they erred a little too far on that altogether and certainly lost their way in the AFC Championship game. There's no doubt about that. But, yeah, this is a perfect fit for attitude, team, right? Derrick Henry's a great leader. He's got no diva-ness about him at all. He works hard as hell. He does an unbelievable job. I mean, you know, you follow him on Instagram. He's one of the most cutting-edge workout guys there are out there. He doesn't really have an injury history. And listen, if you can run for over 1,000 yards last year on that Tennessee team with no real weapons at receiver to really worry about, right? Tannehill, Levis, quarterback situation, offensive line wasn't necessarily something you write home about and go, oh, the Tennessee Titans O-line is special, and he still ran for 1,100 yards. I mean, yes, sign me up for Derrick Henry. He's not the guy he was 4 or 5 years ago, but he's still damn good. He can move a pile and break some big runs.
Let's see how that shakes up the AFC North odds. If we haven't flashed those on the screen, if we have, I missed it. But the Ravens, who won it last year and were the number one seed in the AFC, yeah, they have the Browns to contend with. Yeah, Joe Burrow is going to be back for the Bengals. The Steelers, don't write them off either,
man,
with Russell Wilson coming to town. There are the Ravens as the favorites, courtesy of DraftKings Sportsbook at +115. Bengals just behind. Browns more distant, Steelers bringing up the rear. What has the world come to that the Steelers are at the bottom of the stack? But hey, they have not been, even though Mike Tomlin gets the most out of them, they've not been as talented as the other teams in the division in
definitely
recent
not
years. And they're
definitely
trying to fix that, and they're trying to change that, and we'll see if it works. So AFC North, great division. AFC, great conference. Yet again, whoever comes out of that morass is going to be well positioned to compete with the best the NFC has to offer. Another team in the AFC that needs to be reckoned with, the Houston Texans. Used to be dysfunctional. See, if you are dysfunctional in Minnesota, you can turn it around quickly if you really try hard enough. And the Texans have. They hired DeMeco Ryans to be the coach. They get C.J. Stroud as their quarterback. And they are in you know, a spot that's both an opportunity and a challenge. How do we get better? How do we improve? And Nick Caserio, the GM, has gone out and made some moves. Pilfering from the Vikings yesterday, Danielle Hunter on a two-year deal with $48 million guaranteed, reportedly, max value of $51 million. And I never got the impression the Vikings were going to make the kind of offer necessary to keep Danielle Hunter. And when they went out and signed Jonathan Greenard on, or at least agreed to terms with him on Tuesday, and they start spending other money, that tells me that Hunter's not coming back. It was just a matter of where he was going to land. And people were starting to get like, what's taking so long with Danielle Hunter? And, you know, he probably didn't blow it out the way that he thought he might. So wisely, you jump on that train while you can, because you get past Wednesday, Thursday of this week.
Yeah.
That
big money might be
gone. 2-year deal's not going to be there because right. Texans are going to get somebody else with
yeah.
that money.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I mean, listen, Danielle Hunter, I mean, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. I mean, you know, had the neck scare. We're all worried about that. Ever since he's come back healthy, he's, you know, unquestioned one of the biggest difference makers as a pass rusher in all of football. And then you throw him in this scheme, right? D'Amico Ryans, that 49er scheme where there's not going to be a lot of thinking he's got to worry about. That's where we see this scheme unleash players in a lot of ways, because they don't make their defensive ends read a whole lot. They just go, there's the quarterback, go to him. Don't worry, we'll get some sick, awesome athletic linebackers behind you, and they'll figure out, you know, if you go that way or that way to go, as far as going to the quarterback. That's where it becomes special. The Houston Texans quietly are having an incredible start to the offseason, the free agency. I mean, they really are. You talk about what they've done. I mean, first off, Danielle Hunter, awesome. But what's even more awesome is Azeez El-Shaair, right? I mean, he is a top of the line elite middle linebacker that of course has history in this scheme and with D'Amico Ryan. So you put that there, and then D'Nico Autry is one of those under-the-radar, really good defensive linemen that nobody knows about, right? You add a Fadu Kassi to the group, a Jeff Okuda on a one-year deal who's got talent but has had some injuries and of course, you know, hasn't lived up to being the third pick of the draft. But, man, when you talk about a defense that certainly showed promise last year, we know a quarterback that's special, and here they are, early on in free agency, making that defense even better. Yeah, watch out for Houston. I like those moves. Shaair and Danielle Hunter change the Houston Texans defense and make it, you know, it's pretty good to, whoa, watch out. That might be one of the better defenses in all of football.
Hunter had more sacks than anyone in league history before his 25th birthday. It fell off for him in 2020 with that neck injury that knocked him out for the whole year. He came back in 21. And there's always been a lingering sense of what's the future going to hold. And I'm surprised the relationship lasted as long as it did. But last year in that contract year, because, you know, he's one of the guys, and this is the downside, Chris, when you spot a guy who's got great potential and performance early in his career, and you give him an ultra long term deal that locks in an APY, you run the risk, and the Eagles used to do this. Years ago, they would get a guy, and it used to be after 2 years.
Get him real early, right?
Deal. They'd offer like a 25-year contract. I'm exaggerating, but I remember Sean Andrews was one of the guys. Mike Patterson was another one. You sign this ultra long-term deal that pays you a lot of money now. You're preying on the fact that, you know, somebody is maybe a little young, inexperienced,
I've got
and
no money
look
in
at
his
all this
pocket.
Money they're offering
right.
me. You get 3-4 years in, and you're like, I'm getting screwed here. And that's where Danielle Hunter was. Like, he becomes one of the biggest, baddest pass rushers in the NFL, and he's at half the market.
Yeah.
When Joey Bosa got his contract, Danielle Hunter was literally at half the market. So that's the problem. You can't just – I know that the teams treat these guys like interchangeable parts, but you can't, because there's a human being in there who's going to feel like he got taken advantage of. And I think that was the root of the problem in Minnesota. The market changed at pass rusher. Danielle Hunter deserved an adjustment, and they just didn't give him one.
No.
Far too often, teams don't fix it, and they just honor your contract. And that's what you get. you don't have Danielle Hunter for your whole career.
Yeah, no, it's another huge loss for them. Now, they did good and, you know, swapped defense ends with the Houston Texans. Got a Jonathan Greenard, right, for not nearly the same price as what they had to pay for Danielle Hunter. But, yeah, Danielle Hunter is a special entity in the NFL. Right. You know, I always go back to my old phrase, like there ain't a whole lot of people walking around planet Earth that are look like Danielle Hunter. Anybody ever see him? Like you go, oh, my gosh, where did they build him? What was the lab? That was a special lab. Wow. I mean, it's, you know, shoulders galore. It's the longest damn arms you've ever seen, the longest damn legs you've ever seen, let alone like we've seen in some of these highlights and pictures of him. He's jacked. I mean, Greek God jacked. Right. So, yeah, he's special. And, you know, good for him. 2-year deal, $48 million. I have a hard time thinking he won't be successful. And after year one, I think they're going to be looking at him going, damn, I mean, maybe we should extend him. Maybe we should do something else. I think this is a perfect fit. He's going to kick ass in Houston. And, you know, I'm excited about what Houston's done with their football team here so far. And we know they were a pretty damn good team to start with.
He turns 30 on October 29 of this year. I remember going up to Minnesota training camp the year they opened their practice facility and got him one-on-one at one point.
Right.
And just standing there, you know, when you're doing the reporter thing and you're having the conversation or I'm talking to the phone, some guys look like normal human beings and some guys are clearly above and beyond the rest. And he's one of the ones that just stands out. He is big and he is jacked and he just oozes. And not in a mean way, but he's just got a presence that's like, I'm going to kick your ass.
Yeah, right.
Again,
right.
Very nice guy.
Yes.
But just that he's so big and he is so sculpted. And this is like, yeah, this guy's different than the other guys that are out on that football field. And that's why the Texans are paying him what they are paying him, and they're trying to make their move. This is their chance. This is their time to spend money on other guys. 2-year deal for $51 million for Danielle Hunter. These next 2 years, they have C.J. Stroud under a contract that can't be, by rule, renegotiated. It's the best spot to be in for a team. You got a quarterback on a rookie contract that cannot yet be renegotiated. That time will come where C.J. Stroud is going to get his.
Woo.
But for now,
This
is the time to go all in. This is the Seahawks with Russell Wilson. This is load up the cannon around the quarterback and go for it now because it's going to get more expensive after C.J. Stroud has his third season. That's why Nick Caserio is doing what he's doing.
Yeah, no, I think you're exactly right. You know, and then you look at D'Amico Ryan and you go, well, they're trying to replicate what they did with San Francisco. And they got two pass rushers on the edge now with Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter that you're going to go, well, that's up there already. I don't need to see it on film or watch it. It's going to be one of the better duos in football coming off the edge. You put Aziz El-Shaair at middle linebacker with Christian Harris, who you heard me say during the year is like the next Fred Warner, in my opinion, playing that. Man, that already is going to go to one of the most athletic, like, better linebacker duos in all of football. Jalen Petrie at safety, damn good player, right? The corner Derek Stingley from LSU, he's come along. Watch out for him. I mean, they got it going there in Houston right now. They do. You know, and now, hey, maybe free agency, get another draft, get another player on offense, or maybe another guy at the receiver position to help round out that there in Houston. I mean, yeah, things are looking on the up and up between that coach, that defense, and that quarterback. Watch out.
We mentioned the Steelers earlier, bringing up the rear in the odds to win the AFC North. They did a little wheeling and dealing yesterday as well. We'll tell you what Pittsburgh is up to when PFT Live continues right after this.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.